Good morning. Okay, this morning's shiur is sponsored by Menashe and Bracha Efron in commemoration of the third yahrzeit of Menashe's mother, Brina Bas Alter Yerachmiel Zal, and Neshama should have an aliyah in the Zchus of our Talmud Torah. Okay, good morning. The today's daf is Daf Lama Zayin. We left off yesterday on Daf Lama Vav on Beis, about five lines from the bottom, Tana Rabbanan. So we were discussing the Lashon. If you remember, I believe it was Shmuel who said that a prizbal was the elbone of the Dayanim, and we talked about whether that meant that was something that they did for their convenience or for their shame, and or something that was negative, like a chutzpah was the Lashon. And so there's this idea that elbone or aluva, which we brought an example of a kala shezinsa bekerav chupasa, that a kala who was mezana while she was still at the chuppah, and that was a reference to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. But in any event, we've been dealing with this word aluv or elbon, and so the Gemara brings as follows: Tanur Rabbanan hanelavim ve'enon ovim. So it says again, this is this word aluva. So if we want to understand it like a chutzpah, it means someone who was treated in a manner that had chutzpah ve'enon ovim, but don't respond in a similar fashion. Don't treat others with chutzpah, shomim cherpasam, they hear their shame, ve'im meshivim, they don't answer. So again, it's the same concept, someone's insulting you or being mechutzif to you, or someone is saying not nice things to you and you don't answer. Osin me'ava, those who serve the Rabbanu Shalom from love, usmechim bi'yisurin, they're happy with their yisurin, even though they suffer from travails or from pain and suffering, that they're still pleased. I guess what all of these have in common is that in some fashion, someone's overcoming the natural inclination. The natural inclination is to not like punishment, is to respond to people when they insult you, etc. And so these are people who overcome that base reaction. Aleim akasav omer, on them the pasuk says, va'o'avav kitzeis ha'shemesh begvuraso. Those that love him are like the sun going out in its strength. So again, this is showing people who have a certain strength. And this is a use of that word, aluva. So we've now finished that, and we're back to discussion of prizbal. So we've been talking about prizbal for quite some time. But the Gemara asks a question, my prizbal, where does the word prizbal come from? What does it mean, prizbal? Amrav Chista, price, buli, ubuti. It means price, Rashi says, price is takana, it fixes the rich and the poor. We're going to see where that comes from. We're shifting now to Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph at the top. Buli, when it says it fixes buli, buli elu ashirim, these are the rich people. How do I know? Dechsiv, because it's written the pasuk in Vayikra. It says v'shibarti as gaon uschem, I break the gaon, the pride of your strength, meaning people take pride in their own strength. The Rabbanu Shalom says he's breaking it. V'tani Rav Yosef elu bluas sheb Yehuda. This is appropriate or a good reference to the Bula'is of Yehuda. Bula'is are the rich people of Yehuda. So it needs to break their, it means to break their pride, you know, because they take pride in their being rich. But in any event, you see the concept that Bula'os is a reference to rich people. So that's Buli. Buti, the word Buti, Elo Aniyim, these are the poor people. Where, how do we know that? The siv habe tabitenu. So habe tabitenu is the pasuk that's written that says ki pasayach tiftach es yadchalo, that talks about if a poor person comes to you, you should open your hand to him. Vahabe tabitenu de machsaro technically means habe tabitenu means he puts a deposit by you. You're going to lend the money and he gives you something to hold. So it says, habe tabitenu, you should surely take a deposit from him. What does that mean to take a deposit? It means that you should lend the money. But in any event, you see who is the one that's borrowing money and that needs to give a deposit is a poor person. So you see that this language of buti is phonetically related to habe tabitenu. So you see that buti is a reference to poor people. So what is the point? So therefore it comes out that it's saying it's pros buli o buti. It's the fix for rich and poor people. And in fact, so that's what we're saying. That's where their prizbal comes from. Because price buli is prizbal. So what does that mean? It's to fix for the rich and the poor. So for rich people, we discussed this, that the entire purpose of prizbal was because people who have money are going to be worried. They're going to say, Karva Shnasa Sheva Shnasa Shmita, that the Shmita year is going to come, and they're going to withhold from lending money to people, and they'll be over on the Isser Daraisa of withholding before Shvias. So therefore, by making Prosbol, we say you're still going to be able to collect your money, and therefore they lend money before Shvias, because they know that they can collect it. So this is a fix for rich people, because now they're going to lend money, whereas if they wouldn't lend money, they'd be over on the Nisr Deoraiso. So that's the fix for the rich people. What's the fix for the poor people? Is because by setting up this mechanism, you make sure that you don't shut down the market of lenders, because setting up the Prosbol means now people are willing to lend poor people. If they were going to lose their money and it's going to be Meshamet, the concern is that more of them will be over on the Issa Daraisa, and therefore there will be fewer loans available to poor people. So a Prosbol is something that helps the rich avoid Naveira, and it helps the poor because it ensures that there are people who will do lending. Similar thing, Amrle Rava Lulu'uza. Rava was speaking to someone that we also say, Lashon Laz. So Rashi says, Luza is someone who speaks a language other than Hebrew. So Rava was talking to a person who spoke some other language, and that person, Rashi says, used the word Prosbol. So Rava said to him, my Prosbol, you use this word Prosbol, what does it mean? Amrle, Pursa de Milsa, it comes from the word Pursa, and Rashi says, Pruz, Pursa, Takana, they're all the same thing, it means to fix. So therefore, the idea is that Prosbol is a fix, again, because it fixes both for the rich and for the poor, so that's where that's the etymology of the word, Prosbol. Okay, five lines down, Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel. So we're gonna do today a series of halachas relating to Prosbol, a bunch of isolated halachas relating to Prosbol. Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Yisomen ain't trichim Prosbol. If you have children who are ketanim whose father died, and so the father, so therefore the children are entitled to collect the debts that their father had. And as we're going to see in a minute, generally speaking, Beis Din would watch out for these children to make sure that the debts actually got collected. So the question is the following, is if a father dies and his children have debts, and it's coming the end of Shemitah when those debts would be canceled, do they need to do a Prosbol? And the answer is, no, they don't need a Prosbol. V'chein Tani Rami Bar Chama, we also learned in a Braisa, Rami Bar Chama said, Yisomim ain't tzrichim Prosbol, that Yisomim don't need a Prosbol. Why? The Rabbi Gamliel obeys Dino Avian Shel Yisomim, because Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din are the fathers of Yisomim. So what does this mean? Rashi says that it means that the head of the Batei Din of whatever generation it is are in charge of looking out for the interests of the Yisomim. We saw this yesterday even, where they made a takana that they have a representative for each of them to do the division. And we often see this throughout the Gemara, that the Beis Din was watching out for the interests of the Yisomim. And so why did it say Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino? Because of because it says, Nesiyei Yisrael Shebichol Dor V'Dor, and it said this, that Hadanaka Rabbi Gamliel, Shaya Beis Dino Kayim V'Noye Kishenishnas Mishnah Zu. It just happened to be, at the time this Mishnah was learned, Rabbi Gamliel was the one who was the head of that Beis Din. But in any event, what's the mechanism by which this works? Is that the whole idea of a Prosbol is that you're giving over your debts to the court, and you're saying, technically speaking, when you collect the debts, you're collecting for the court. In this case, because the Dayanim are always looking out and taking responsibility for the debts of the Yisomim, so it's already by the court. So you don't need to do a Prosbol. A Prosbol takes the debts and gives them to the court. A Yosom's debts are already with the court, and that's why it doesn't need a Prosbol. Okay, the Gemara continues, new concept, Tanan Hasam, we learned there in the Mishnah, Ein Kosum Prosbol, Ela Ala Karka. So what is this talking about? Machlokas and Rishonim had to understand that we're going to go with Rashi for the moment, and hopefully later we can come back to this Gemara, but it says you don't write a Prosbol except for someone who has Karka, that the borrower has to have Karka. And Rashi explains why is this, because Rashi says that as long as the borrower has karka, that's when Prosbol applies. The reason for that is because most loans, generally speaking, people didn't make unsecured loans. Even things that were secured by a metaltalin, about something that's a movable object, they didn't want to do because someone could hide it or take it or get rid of it, whereas land, you could always lend against. So generally speaking, Rashi says, lending transactions were done with people who had land to put up as a mashkon. So therefore, Rashi says, whenever we make takanas for the majority of situations. So Prusbol was a takana, so it's going to apply to general lending transactions. General lending transactions have some element of land associated with them, so therefore a Prusbol only applies to debts that are owed by someone who has some land holding. Now, the Gemara says, im ein lo, let's say he doesn't have land, mizakeyu b'sof sadeyu kol shehu, that you should, so this is an interesting thing, it gets around this problem. So let's say you in fact lent money to someone who did not have land, so therefore Prusbol doesn't apply, so now your loan is going to get lost at Shviyah. So what can you do? You give over to him a little bit of land, and then he's a landowner. So you give him a tiny piece of land, at that point he's a landowner, then you could say, okay, we're going to have Prusbol. This gets into a very interesting issue, because the idea of Zachin L'Adam Shalom B'Fanav, how can you give him land, is because, and he's not accepting it, obviously he doesn't really want this land, so you're giving him a little piece of land, you get someone else to be mekabel it for him, to accept it. How does that work? Zachin L'Adam Shalom B'Fanav, you could do a favor for someone. But the question is, that doesn't seem like such a favor, because you're giving him a little piece of land, and then because of that, you're going to be able to be meshamet his debt. So, but the fact is, we look at the immediate benefit, and the immediate benefit is that you're giving him a piece of land. And therefore, this is a way to get around the problem that ordinarily the Prusbol wouldn't apply if he doesn't have land. You could give him land, and you could give him even a tiny piece of land. Where does this come from? Rashi says, if you remember a week ago, we learned the Gemara in Daf Lamed, which said that that if someone has even a little bit of land, kimlo mechet, like the size of a needle, that you can collect melo kardam, the size of an axe or something. And the idea was kemaisa de katini de abaya, which, if you remember, was the idea. It was one of two ideas that were presented there. One was the story with abaya was someone had, let's say, he owed $100. He had a piece of land that was worth $50, so he took the land. They sold the land that was worth $50, and he took the $50, but now he still had a lien on the land, so he collected it again. So the idea is, theoretically, you can keep collecting from the same piece of land. So that's one reason. And the other was that we learned over there that once you own a little piece of land, you can continue to collect from the Trumas and Maisers that were there. That was the Gemara we had a week ago. But in any event, what you see from that is, as long as someone has even a tiny piece of land, theoretically you can use it to collect the debt, and that's why it's enough to have a small piece of land. I won't get into it right now, but it's interesting. The Poskim talk about this Gemara in the context of two issues. I saw one is whether, let's say you have a Pidyon HaBen, and can the Kohen lend money to the father if he doesn't have the money, so lend it to him and then use it for the Pidyon HaBen. And a similar thing, if you're trying to sell your chametz to a guy, and the guy doesn't have money, can you give him money that he then uses to be the deposit that he gives for the chametz? But in any event, they use this halacha. So what do we see? We see that if you have even a little bit of land, you can do Prusbol, but if you don't have a little bit of land, you can't do Prusbol, and we have this workaround that if someone doesn't have land, you could give him a tiny piece of land. V'kama kol shu, how tiny of a piece of land can you give him? Rav Chiya Barashi says in the name of Rav, afilu kelach shal kruv. You can give him even one stalk of cabbage, so you give him a tiny piece of land, and at that point, you could do Prusbol. Rav Yehuda says, you don't even need to give him a piece of land. Afilu hishilu makum latanu likirayim kosam lov Prusbol. That even if you give him a tiny piece of land that you say you can put your oven on my land, at that point, he's someone with a connection to land, at that point, the Prusbol can take effect. Now the Gemara says, Aini, is that true? Vahatani Hillel. But Hillel learned, and Rashi says that Hillel was an Amora. That was an Amora named Hillel. Ain Kosim Prusbol, Elal Atzus Nokuv Bilvad. That you can only, you don't write a Prusbol except on a pot that has a hole in the bottom. We've encountered this many times. We had it in Subas, on Kuf Yutes. We had it in the beginning of this Masechta when we were talking about the rivers and things like that with where you could do a Gittin. But in any event, it's generally speaking, a pot that has a hole in the bottom is considered as if it's connected to the land beneath it. So what do you see? So why is that a problem for our halacha? Because it says, Nakuv in, if it has a hole in the bottom of the pot, then it works, and you could do pros bolsha in a nukav lo. But if it wouldn't have a hole, meaning the bottom of the pot has no way for the land to, for the dirt is not connected at all, then it would not work. Amai, why should that be v'ha'ikum akomo? What about, in other words, the question is, why does it have to be a atzot nakov? Why does it have to be a pot with a hole in it? Why don't you just say simply the fact that he was able to put his pot, even without a hole, on the ground, it should be enough because he has that little piece of ground that he's borrowing because he's putting his pot there. So, in other words, if the halacha is true that you don't need to give him a piece of land and you just need to lend him a place that he can put his thing down, why does the pot have to have a hole? Even if it doesn't have a hole, you're giving him the land that it's being put on. Once he has any land, then it's relevant to the halacha of Prusbol. So it seemed to imply that you actually have to give him a piece of land, not just lend him a place to put his things down. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha demana chasichi. No, we need it still because we're talking about where he put the pot on some pegs. So you didn't really lend them a piece of land, and it's above the land because it's held up by the pegs. And therefore, if it's atzot nakov, if it's open in the bottom, then the fact that it's above the land, it can draw nutrients from there, and therefore it has some connection to land. But if it's atzot shein nakov, if there's no hole, it has no connection to the land. It's sitting on pegs. So it's not sitting on the land, and it's not drawing nourishment from the land, and therefore it has insufficient connection to the land, and you would not be able to have a prusbol on that basis. Rav Ashi makni le gidma de dikla v'kasav ala prusbol. Rav Ashi utilized this mechanism. What did he do? He gave someone the stump of a palm tree. So basically there had been a cut-off palm tree, and the stump was there. So he gave him that stump. At that point, since the stump was connected to the ground, he had given him something that was relevant to earth, to karka, and at that point, you could apply the halacha of prusbol, so he gave over this land, or this stump, for the purpose of enabling himself to write a prusbol for this person. Okay, kind of jumping topic slightly, Rabbanan de Beit Rav Ashi, that the Rabbanan, by the base measures of Rav Ashi, masri mi layu lahadadi, that they used to give over their words to one another. What does this mean? We learned yesterday that the language of a prusbol is you write, I give over my debts to you, such and such dayanim, right? And they all sign. It says in the Beis Medrash of Ravashi, they didn't give over, they didn't write that down, they just said to each other, I give over my debts to the three of you as Bezdin, and the Gemara is saying that by Ravashi they did that and that was sufficient. Rav Yonasan Masar Mila Rav Chiya Bar Abba, similarly Rav Yonasan gave over words to Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Again, he told Rav Chiya Bar Abba, I give to you my debts, without writing it. Amar Lei, he said, so when he finished telling him that, he said to him, Tzarich Namidi Achrina, do I need anything more? Do I need to write it down? Do I need to do anything different? Amar Lei, Lo Tzrichatz, you don't need to, it's okay that you did it verbally. So therefore, we see this concept that even verbally, you can have prusbol. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan. So now we're going to continue on this theme about the idea that you can only do prusbol if it's a loan that the borrower has some element of real estate or karka. So what happens, Tanur Rabbanan, ein lo karka, ula arev yesh lo karka. What happens if your borrower did not have any land, so he was not someone with land, and therefore prusbol wouldn't apply, but this particular loan was guaranteed by another person, and that guarantor has land. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara tells us, kosen alav prusbol, that's sufficient. So there's some nexus to land, because although the borrower doesn't have land, but the guarantor does, and so therefore this loan has a sufficient connection to land that a prusbol can apply to it. What happens, lo la'arev ein lahem karka? What happens if neither the borrower nor the guarantor have karka, ulechayev lo yesh lo karka. But there's someone, the way Rashi learns, there's someone who owes the borrower money, right? So you lent money, Reuven lent money to Shimon. Shimon is owed money by Levi. So in that case, Kosman alav prusbol, we can write a prusbol, and I hope some of you are guessing why. Midrev Nassim, from the Shibud de Rev Nassim, the Sanya, because we've learned this a number of times. Rabbi Nassim Omer, Rabbi Nassim says, minayin lenosha bechavero mana, that if you have, how do you know that if someone owes their friend 100 and their friend owes their friend the same money, that you can take it from him and give it, take it from this and give it to that? I'll explain in a minute. Talmud Lomar, V'nasan l'asher asham lo. That you give it to the one, to asham lo, that you sinned against, but we're going to see what this means in a minute. So this is the class, this is the case of shibudid Reb Nasan. What is shibudid Reb Nasan? Which is the following. Let's say I lend money to Shimon. And Shimon is owed money by Levi. So I want to go collect my debt from Shimon, but Shimon doesn't have any money. But the only thing he has is he has an IOU from Levi, that Levi owes him money. According to Reb Nasan, I'm entitled to go to Levi and say, give me that money because Shimon owes it to me and I'm going to take it directly from you. Now, like in American law, they would tell you, you have no connection to Levi. You go after Shimon and then you can foreclose on the fact that he has an ability to collect from Levi and that you'll buy that asset, but you don't have the right to go straight to Levi in the ordinary course. But in Halacha, Shibudid Reb Nasan, you do. So therefore, the question that the Gemara is dealing with is as follows. There needs to be some nexus to land for Prusbol to work. The borrower had no land. The guarantor had no land. But there was someone who owed money to the borrower, and that guy has land. So the Gemara is saying that that's a sufficient nexus in order to say that there is land connected to this transaction, because since there's a person from whom you can collect under the rule of Shibudid Reb Nasan, that's enough connection to land. Just to explain, when it says Tamalov and Nasan Lasher Hashem Lo, the idea is this is talking about if someone steals from someone and then denies, they took something from him and then they deny it and then they subsequently admit it. So you have to give back the money with a chomesh. And it says, V'nasan la'asher asham lo, you give it to the one to whom you sin to him, which is basically the person who you stole from. But he uses this lashon of asham, asham lo, that the one who has the asham. Asham can also mean the keren, the principal of a loan. So therefore it's saying, V'nasan la'asher asham lo, you give to the one that the principle is by him, and that basically you draw from there the idea that in addition to Hashem as the one you sinned against, the Hashem is the principle, the idea, this is the source for the Shibudid Reb Nasan, that you could take from the person that has the principle by him, meaning you could go to the third party, to Levi, to collect something. In any event, the Gemara is telling us that is sufficient nexus and connection to land. Okay, Tanan Hasan, we learned there, new halacha, Shvias Mishametes is a malva, that the Shemitah cancels a loan, Bein b'shtar, Bein shelo b'shtar, whether there is a shtar or there isn't a shtar. Now we're going to have two versions of what is with a shtar and what is without a shtar. Rav Shmuel d'Amrit Havayu, Rav Shmuel say as follows. B'shtar, when it says that Shemitah cancels a loan, even with a shtar, is saying shtar sheyesh lo achrayis nechasim. What is achrayis nechasim? We've learned this many times, is the idea that you could have a loan, that's a written loan, and therefore it's going to have a shibud on karka, which is if the person owns land and you lend them money, if he subsequently sells that land, you could still go take that land back because the land has a lien on it for your benefit of your loan. So that's how we're understanding a shtar means shtar sheyesh l'achrayis nechasim, that has that shibud. Shelo b'shtar, when it says that Shemitah cancels without a shtar, is talking about Shein lo achrayis nechasim, shein bo achrayis nechasim. You're talking about a loan with a document that does not have a lien. So therefore, a document with a lien and a document without a lien are both canceled by Shemitah, and it doesn't, for sure, kol shekein milvah peh. Then for certain, that an oral loan would for sure be canceled by Shvias, because if even a secured loan is canceled, which is a stronger and more significant loan, then for sure a oral, verbal loan would be canceled as well. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Dami Tavai, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlakish learn differently. They say that when it says that Shvias cancels, Bishtar is talking about Shtar She'en Bo Achrayis Nechasim. It's talking about a loan that does not have a lien attached to it. Shelo Bishtar, when it says that Shvias, that Shemitah cancels, even when you don't have a document, it's talking about Milval Peh, an oral loan, that you just had a verbal agreement with someone to pay it back. Avol shtar sheyesh bo achrayis nechasim. But let's say you were to have a shtar, you were to have a written document that served as a lien on the person's lands, ein mishamet, then shvius would not cancel it. Because Rashi says the kegavoy dummy, that it is as if it's already collected. That if you have a lien on land, and we're going to see this in more detail. Rashi says that it's similar. It's almost as if you have a lien on land, it's as if your loan is collected, and it's as if there isn't even a debt here. There's just an entitlement to take the land because you did a loan, but it's as if it's already collected. And if we recall, what is the Isser Min HaTorah? The Isser Min HaTorah is to go after Shemitah and to push your brother or to collect from him. So if you have a loan that's essentially already collected, that's not an Isser, that you're not being over on the Isser of collecting after Shemitah. So therefore, the way Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish understand is that if there is a loan that has a shtar, that has a lien, that's as if it's collected, and therefore it's not subject to being canceled by Shemitah, even if you would not have a prizbol.
Okay.
I'm sorry? A secured loan, correct. Tanya Kavasid, Rav Yochanan, Rav Shimon ben Lakish. We learned a brisa that supports this opinion of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Why? Because it says, shtar chov meshamet, that a shtar chov, you know, gets given up in Shemitah, in Shvius. But if it's a secured loan, it's a loan that has a lien, then it would not be canceled by Shemitah. So you see exactly along the lines of what Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said. Tanya Idach, we learned another brisa that supports it. It says, Siyam lo sada achas behalvaso. That let's say you made up with the borrower, not a general lien on his land, but you said this very specific land. And Rashi says, Siyam, the word comes from that you show him the borders and etc. You agree, I have this certain field and that's going to secure my loan to you. So that's as if it's collected. So we're going to see that. So therefore, in that case, it's not canceled by Shemitah because it's as if it's collected. V'lo'od, and not only that, where you identified a specific field, it's considered as if it's collected. El afilu kasav kol nichsai achroyim v'arvayin lach, that if he wrote, all of my properties are achroy, are responsible to this loan, va'arvayin lach, and are guaranteeing it to you, enam eshamet, that is sufficient, even though he's not identifying a specific land that's securing the debt, and it could be any one of several lands, but we still consider that as if it's already collected, and it's not a chov, and therefore if you would collect it after Shemitah, you would not be over on the Isser, and that would apply even without a prizbol. So we see two brisas that support the view of Rav Shimon ben Lakish and Rav Yochanan that ashtar sheyesh bo achrayis nechasim, ashtar that is secured, is not subject to the cancellation of Shemitah. Okay, so we're going to say a story now which demonstrates this somewhat. Krevid Rav Asi havele ahu shtara, a relative of Rav Asi had such a shtar, the haviksiv be achrayis nechasim, that had in it this lien, and so therefore this was a secured loan that was evidenced by this document. Also, the comment of Rav Asi, he came in front of Rav Asi. Amalei meshamet or ainu meshamet. What would happen with this loan? Would Shemitah cancel it or wouldn't cancel it? Amalei ainu meshamet. It would not cancel, which was in line with whose halacha? This was in line with halacha of Rav Shimon ben Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Okay, so this relative, I guess, didn't trust Rav Asi or whatever reason. Shav gave also the comment of Rav Yochanan. So he went in front of Rav Yochanan. Amalei, Rav Yochanan said, meshamet. Shemitah cancels it. So Asa Rav Asi, so then the relative must have gone back to Rav Asi and told him, you know, you told me Shemitah doesn't cancel, but Rav Yochanan told me it does cancel. So Rav Asi couldn't believe this. Why? Because Rav Yochanan is the one who said that Shemitah does not cancel by a shtar by Achrayis Nechasim. So Rav Asi didn't believe it. So Asa Rav Asi, the comment of Rav Yochanan, so Rav Asi himself went to Rav Yochanan, Amalei Meshamet or Ainu Meshamet. What's the halacha? If you have a shtar that's a secured loan, does Shemitah cancel it or not? Amalei Meshamet, Shemitah cancels. So he says, I don't get it. Rav Asi says to Rav Yochanan, V'hamar hu damar ainu meshamet. But you're the one who said, you Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish were the ones who said that as long as it has a secured loan, it's not canceled. That is not canceled by Shemitah. So why would you say it is canceled? Amalei, he said to him, V'mechimi p'nei she'anu medamim nasim maisa. So this is an amazing Gemara. He says, just because I was able to compare it to another case, and we were able to make some kind of dimyan is generally a reference to the type of psak where you're extrapolating from one thing to another, and you're learning the halacha. So he says, just because I was able to make that extrapolation, and I think that that's the logic of the halacha, the fact is I don't have a Kabbalah from my Rebbeim, that's how it works. So on what basis can I paskin that lemaisa? I can tell you in the base measures that this is how I think it should work, but who said I can paskin that way? And since Rashi explains that since we're talking about, therefore he was basafik, and a safik mamon, that you, it's hamotzi mechaver of araya, and therefore you would have to say that, that the lender, that the money is with who? It's with the borrower right now. So the money stays there because what right does the lender have to be to collect it? Because maybe Shemitah was Meshamet. So even though he had a theory that would say it shouldn't work that way, that Shemitah should not be Meshamet, he wasn't prepared to paskin that lehalacha. So Amalei Rabasi said to him, Amalei Vahatanya Kavase Demar. He says, okay, you're worried about whether your Svara holds water, but we just brought two brises that support you. So why wouldn't you be comfortable on the basis of the brises? Amrulay, he says, Dilma hi Beishamahi. Maybe both those brises are going in the opinion of Beishamah, and we don't pass them like Beishamah. Which machlokas of Beishamah Beisil are we talking about here? The Amri Shtar Amun the Gavus Kigavu Dami. Okay, because Beishamah says that a shtar that stands to be collected is as if it's collected. So this is a halacha that we've encountered, it's a halacha that we've encountered before, which is going along the lines of the following. That you had, I'm just trying to remember the case. You had as follows, that a woman, this, we learned this in Sota, that, you had a woman whose husband was gonna make her drink the Meisota. If I recall, I think that's how it works. You had a woman whose husband was gonna make her drink the Meisota, and then he died before she could drink it. Now we know that if the husband's not around, she can't drink the Meisota. So at this point, she can't drink. And what are we left with? We're left with a safek of whether she is entitled to ksuba or not. Because if she was mezana while she was under her husband, she's not entitled to ksuba. But if she wasn't, she isn't entitled to ksuba. So it's a safek. So what do you do in a safek? You leave the money where it is. The question is, where is the money? Because what happened here? You had a guy. He had money. Now, you have two people who could theoretically, we could say, now have the money. Either you have the wife who has a ksuba, which is a shtar that says she's entitled to money, or you have the children who are the inheritors. So, Beishamai and Beisil of a machlok is as follows. Beishamai says, if someone has, they agree that the halacha is that if you have a suffix about the mamon, you leave it with whoever has it, but they don't agree about who has it. Because Beishamai says, since she has a shtar, if someone has a shtar that you're owed money, it's as if that money is collected. And therefore, she's the one who's holding the money. The Beis Hillel says no, that if you have a shtar, it means you have a right to go collect against money, but the money transfers to the Yarshim, and then she could claim on it. But since she's besafik, she won't be able to claim it. So the issue you have here is everyone agrees that it stays with whoever has it, but they argue about who has it. Beis Shammai says the wife has it because a shtar that stands to be collected is if it's collected. And Beis Hillel says that no, the children get it, she has a right to claim it, but at the end of the day, they won't pay it to her. But in any event, Rav Yochanan said as follows, you have these brises that support you, Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, maybe the reason they say that is because those brises are going like Beis Shammai that says that a debt that stands to be collected is as if it's collected. And that's the reason, only according to Beis Shammai would we say that it's as if it's collected and therefore Shemitah would not cancel it. But if you would go like Beis Hillel that does not assume that a debt in a document is if it's collected, so then it's a valid debt, it's not already collected, and then Shemitah would cancel it. So Rav Yochanan, not only was he not willing to rely on his own logic, he said to himself that even though there's two brises that support my view, maybe those are only going according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, that a shtar that stands to collect as if it's collected, and since we don't paskin like Beis Shammai, we wouldn't do that, and therefore Yochanan said, we have to assume, we have to treat it as if Shemitah canceled that loan. Okay, Tanan Hasam, new halacha, Hamoves Chaver Moz Al Mashkin, Vamosa Sharosel Vabezdin Emeshamtin. That if someone lends money to his friend on a Mashkin, so what happens? I lend money to Shimon, he gives me his watch, so that, we're gonna say, is as if it's collected. Or if he gives over his shtaras to Bezdin. Now we've encountered this concept of giving the shtar to Bezdin. That's the whole basis of a prosbol. So the Gemara says, Bishlam amos shtaras of the Bezdin, the tafsi luhu beidina. I understand why it works if you give the shtar to Bezdin, because Bezdin is holding on to it. Elamilva mashkin my timer. What's the reason that Shemitah doesn't cancel a loan that is backed by a mashkin that I'm holding? Amarava mishum the tafisle. It must be because I'm holding it. And if I'm holding it, it's as if it's collected. If it's as if it's collected, it's not a debt. If it's not a debt, then Shemitah wouldn't cancel it. So Amalei Abaya, Abaya says, Alameata, Havo, Vidar Bechatero, Dutafisle, Hachinami Delama Shamet. So he says, but we know, he says, what, if you're right, that possession is enough to say that Shemitah doesn't cancel it, then what happens if someone lends money and they make an arrangement that says, as long as I've lent you money, as long as I owe you money, you can stay in my chatzar. So he's like kind of holding on to his chatzar in some fashion. He's living there. He says, I'm going to be a pain in your neck till you pay me back. He's living in his chatzar. So what do you see? You see it's a case where he's holding on to something. He's in possession of his chatzar. And yet we know the halacha we learn in Ezon Neshech and Bav Metzia that it doesn't work. So you see that simply being in possession is insufficient. So Hachinamid Lo Meshamid, would you say that it shouldn't be Meshamid, that Shemitah shouldn't cancel? But we know that Shemitah does cancel that loan. We see that in Bav Metzia, Rashi Tosfos points out. So Amar Leh, he said to him, no, I can distinguish between the case in Bav Metzia where he's living in his chatzar versus this where I took his watch. Shani Mashkan, the Kani Leh Bidrav Yitzchak. Because a mashkan, which is a movable item, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, the person who's holding the mashkan owns it. So if I lend money to Shimon and Shimon gives me his watch, I own his watch. I have to give it back to him if he pays me, but I own it. Where do we know this? Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Minayin lebal chov shekana mashkan." Where do I know that a creditor who's holding a mashkan owns it? Shenemar alecha tiatzdaka. This is talking. The pasuk tells us that let's say you have a poor person and you want to take a mashkan, but he doesn't have anything. So you take his pajamas, basically, and you hold his pajamas every day. But at night he needs his pajamas, so you give it back to him. Right? And the pasuk says, it's tzedakah tiyalecha, that it's a tzedakah for you to give it back to him. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak says, imeinu kona tzedakah minayin. He says, tzedakah means, I give you something that's mine, that I'm entitled to, and I give it to you. So how can it be that it can be considered a tzedakah to give the poor guy his own pajamas? It must be because I own those pajamas. When I'm holding them, I own them. And so when I give it to him at night so that he can wear them, that is a tzedakah. So that's how, from here we learn that a Baal Chov owns the Mashkon, and therefore the answer is, I could distinguish between a case where I'm holding the watch, where it's considered as if it's collected, and therefore Shemitah would not cancel, versus the case of the Chatzar, because the Halacha of Reb Yitzchak, that I own it, is talking by Metaltel, and something I hold. But it doesn't work that way with a Chatzar, so I can distinguish, and therefore we're left with this Halacha, that if someone lends against a mashkan that they're holding, that's considered as if it's collected, and Shemitah would not cancel. Okay, Tanan Hassan, new halacha, I'm a base. Hamachzer chov l'chaver, this is interesting gemara. Hamachzer chov l'chaver b'shvias, sarv sheyomer lo meshamet ani. So what happens if, now Rashi explains, when it says he returns him a chov in shvias, it means after shvias, he says he needs to tell him, so someone, let's say I lent someone money before Shemitah, and I didn't sign a prosbol. He comes to me and says, here's the money. So I need to tell him, sorry, I need to tell him, sorry, that debt was canceled because I didn't do a prosbol and Shemitah passed. Vim amrlo afal pikein. But if the guy says, yeah, I get it that Shemitah canceled, but even so, I want to give you back the money, you kabel himenu, I can accept it from him. Why? Shenemer, because it says, this is Dvar Shemitah. Now, technically, Dvar Shemitah means this is the matter of Shemitah, but Dvar is the word like Diber, like speaking. So we learn that the obligation, if someone comes to me after Shemitah, is I need to tell him, you don't owe it to me. But if he says, I want to give it to you anyway, that's fine. Now, here's an amazing Gemara. Amar Rabba v'tali le'ad amar hachi. Let's say Said comes to me, I lend him money, as Shemitah passes, he comes to me and says, I want to give you the money. And I say, no, Shemitah canceled. He says, okay, great. And he starts walking away. So he says, Rashi says, if I'm stronger than him, I can hang him up on a tree and force him to give me back the money. So the Gemara says, so Esve Abaya has a problem with this. He says, Kishu Nosin Lo, that he says, the Brisa says as follows, that when he gives it to him, Al Yomer Lo, let's say Said comes to give it to me, even though Shemitah passed, Al Yomer Lo B'chov Yani Nosin Lach, don't say, I'm giving it to you for the Chov, because the Chov was canceled. El Yomer Lo Shali Hain, it's my money, U'matana Ani Nosin Lach, I'm giving it to you as a matana. So if that's what Said has to say, then what makes you think I can hang him on a tree and force him to give it to me? Now remember, when I'm hanging him on the tree and forcing him to give it to me, is not that I'm collecting my debt. It's that once he offered, and even though I declined it, I really want it. So then I could take it back from him because he initially offered. But in any event, it seems that he has to say it's a matana. If it's a matana, then that doesn't seem to work. How can you force him? Amrlei, Tali le nami ad amar hachi. He says, no, that's the whole point. You hang him on a tree till he says, I want to give it to you as a matana. So in any event, that's how it works. So now we're going to say a story that this, you see this a little bit. Abba bar Marta dehu, Abba bar Minyumi. Abba bar Marta, who is also known as Abba bar Minyumi, have a masik bay Rabba Zuzi, that he had borrowed money from Rabba. And what happened? And Shemitah passed. Rabba was a poor person. Shemitah passed, and the loan got canceled. Aisinu nile b'shvias. He brought it to him after Shvias, meaning after Shemitah had canceled the loan. Amrlei, so Rabba said to him, in accordance with the halach we just learned, Mishamitani, that was canceled because Shemitah passed and I didn't have a prisbol. Shaklin of Azal. So Abra Bar Marta said, okay, thanks. And he walked away. So Asa Abaya, Ashkechidave Atziv. Abaya came and he found Rabba and he saw that Rabba was sad. Amrlei, Amai Atziv Mar. Rabba, why are you sad? Amrlei, Hachi Avi Maisa. This is what happened. Abba Bar Marta came to me. He offered me the money. I told him Shvi is canceled and he left. He didn't give it to me anyway. So Azal Legabe Abaya went to Abba Bar Marta. Amrlei, Amtulei Zuzu Lamar. Did you bring money to Rabba? Amrlei, in. He said, yes. Amrlei, Umay Amrlach. What did Rabba tell you? Amrlei, Mishamitani. He told me that he had canceled the loan because it was Shemitah. So Amrlei, Viamartalei Achal Pikein. Did you tell him I want to give it to you anyway? He said, Amrlei, lo, I didn't. He just left. Amrlei, Viamartalei Achal Pikein, Havashaklinaminach. Did you know that if you would have told him Achal Pikein, Rabba would have taken the money from you? And you know Rabba needs the money. Hashtamia Samtinu Niale. Maybe you should go now and give it back to him. So Amtinu Nile, take it to him, Emolei Afal Pikein. And you should say to him, Afal Pikein, even though Shvi is cancelled, I want you to have it. Azol Amtinu Nile. So he went and brought it to Rabba of Amrlei Afal Pikein, and he said, even though Shemitah cancelled, I want to give it to you anyway. Shaklinu Minei, and Rabba took it from him. Amr, and Rabba didn't think too much of Abba Bar Marta, it seems. Amr lo havi be daita b'haitzur mei rabbanu mei kara. That this Abba Bar Marta didn't have enough das to figure out in the first case that he should have offered it to me, Afal Pikein. Why? Because we see that it's considered a midas chasidus to give it to him anyway, even though technically he didn't have to give it because Shemitah canceled. So we see even though it is Rabba who's the one who said you could hang him on a tree, for whatever reason, he didn't force Abba Bar Marta, but when Abba Bar Marta brought it back to him, then he actually did it. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Nachman, Neman Adam Lemon Prusbol Hayu Beyadi V'Aved Mimeni. That a person is believed to say, I had a Prusbol and it was lost from me. My time, well, why should we believe him? In other words, generally speaking, if someone wants to come and collect, he has to prove he's owed it. So if I know that he lent the money before Shemitah, and now it's after Shemitah. If he wants to collect it, he should have to produce a prizbol. Why would I believe him if he said I had a prizbol and it was lost? So he said, "Kivin takin rabbanon prizbol lo shavek ateir v'achli isura." He says, we have a chazaka that basically, if a person could collect beheter, why would he collect be'isser? So therefore, what it basically means is that if someone had the option of writing a prizbol, we assume he wrote a prizbol, because why should someone say, I'm not going to write a prizbol, instead I'm going to go collect be'isser after Shemitah, so we don't assume that people would do that. So because there's a chazaka that basically people want to do the right thing if it doesn't cost them anything, so therefore we can assume, we believe him when he says that I had a prizbol, but it was lost, because the facts, because the chazaka tends to support that that's likely what he would have done. When someone would come in front of Rav after Shemitah, Amrlei Midi Prusbol Hayilachava Avad, he would actually prompt him and say, is it possible you had a Prusbol and it got lost? Maybe that's what happened. This concept is Psach Picha Le'ilim Hu. This is an example of, this is a Pasuk in Mishlei that says you open the mouth for a mute person, which means like you put in his, if someone's not capable of articulating the right arguments, you give it to him. So Rav used to kind of leading question, is it possible you had a prizbol that maybe you lost and that you're technically entitled to collect this? So the Gemara asks Akasha Tanan, but we see v'chein balchov shemotzi shtarchov eini mo prizbol harei elu lo yifru. This is talking, the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about a husband who doesn't have to pay a ksuba. Now it says also a balchov, that if they find the shtarcho, but they don't have the prizbol, that it doesn't get paid. So the question is as follows. Rashi says, it can't be coming to tell us that if someone ever wrote the Pruz Bowl that you can't collect it, because of course not, because Shemitah cancels. So what must it be talking about? It must be talking about a case where it got lost, the Pruz Bowl got lost, and yet you see that it says that if you have a Shtar Chob, but it doesn't have the Pruz Bowl with it physically there, that it doesn't get paid. So it seems to imply different than this halacha where the person could just say it got lost. So the Gemara says, you're right, that Mishnah does seem to say that, but Tanoihi, it's a machlokes Tanoim. Disanya, because we learned, Hamoti Shtar Chov, Tzar Sheheim, or Pruz Bowl. Someone who finds a Shtar Chov, the Pruz Bowl needs to physically be there. The Chacham say that the Pruz Bowl doesn't need to be there. And therefore, Rav and Rav Nachman, who said that you can assume and believe him when he says that it was lost, would be relying on the opinion of the Chachamim that says you don't need a physical Pruz Bowl. I apologize to do this, but maybe tomorrow we'll start. I say 10 of, if you don't mind. I'm sorry, because there's a long daf, so we'll start tomorrow a little bit early.
You hardly have any cases where you haven't.